Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Frank Bonner covers the Memphis football program for the Daily Memphian. They've obviously wrapped up spring camp and are getting ready for the season. He joins us now. Frank, before we get into Memphis football, thanks for being here, by the way.
No problem.
Have you taken the time and space that you needed to grieve the Mike Woodson firing at Indiana?
You know, see, I knew you were going to bring this up. And honestly, I don't know if grieve is the word because I'm conflicted. I've got mixed emotions about it. So I don't know if grieving is the appropriate word, right? He did some good things, right? But there were some embarrassing losses that happened last year that just kind of like stay in the back of your mind. So, I mean, those losses kind of what did it for him.
A lot of people don't know this. I'm going to peel back the curtain a little bit. Frank Bonner, proud Indiana Hoosier. And we would be doing some podcast work. I'd see him in the office during the Memphis basketball season. And, you know, Frank kind of poked his chest out. You know, he's kind of like, Indiana basketball is a blue blood. And y'all over here arguing about Memphis losing South Florida, you know? And so I just wanted people to know that there is a hoop side to you, a proud hoop side. And so do you think that DeVries is are you hopeful about the job he will do up there?
Yeah, and what I'll say about the hire there, I think it was a safe pick for IU because he was a guy whose name was getting thrown out there. So nobody's going to be jumping down your throat for hiring him, right? Like you knew that everybody was going to think that was a good hire. And so I do think if you're trying to steer the ship, I think he's a good guy to go after because you think he's going to do, you know, a better job than some of the embarrassing losses that we saw last year. I would have liked, and this is probably the delusion of me, like some of these names I'm going to say, I knew we couldn't get, but like
right.
Part of me still feels like IU is a job that could have chased after a Rick Pitino, and that's just a delusional fan of me. But like, that's a guy who I would have loved to see be coaching IU that you just knew wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, it's a new era, and the Big East has all this. They don't have to share money with football, and you know, Cignetti's going to want a lot. So I think that's got to be part of the equation as well. All right, let's talk Memphis football. You're talking to Memphis football coaches. You were around all spring. What are the vibes, man? How are the people involved feeling about this season with so much change, right? But also still so much talent for Memphis football.
Yeah, right. One thing I will say is they feel confident on paper. Like if you talk to any one of the coaches, whether it's Silverfield or any one of the position coaches, they feel confident that they have gotten more athletic in terms of what they have on the roster. And, you know, Ryan had even said that he feels like this is the longest in terms of measurements and links, measurables. This is the longest that the defense has been in recent years. So they do feel confident in the measurables that they were able to put together for their roster. Now you just have to see if all that's going to come together and how many wins is that going to turn into. But on paper, they feel strongly about the roster they were able to recruit out of the portal and some of the returners they have. They don't have a lot of returners from last year, but they still got guys like Whitlow. They still got Courtland Marsh, who you didn't get to see much. And I think Courtland Marsh can be an all-conference caliber player. When he came back from that injury in those last four games, I mean, he was all over the field. So you still do have some pieces. And obviously the running back room is, you don't have a question mark there. So there's still some returners, but they've brought in a lot of transfers who they feel fit the mold of what they're trying to do.
I'm curious, Frank. I mean, a lot of times coming off a year like Memphis had last year where you're picked number one, you lose a guy like Seth Hennigan that you've had forever. Maybe the expectation, the pressure goes down a little bit, the pressure level. But we know that's not going to be the case here with Ryan having not won the conference title, having not made a conference title game. And we've heard Ed Scott say as much that, conference titles are the expectation here. I'm curious, as it relates to this season, the way you think this will play out in terms of the preseason media poll, John and I aren't expecting Memphis to be picked number one like they were last year, having Seth with the quarterback situation they've got. But what are you sort of expecting in terms of who will be one and how high Memphis should be in terms of in the mix?
Yeah, I don't anticipate Memphis. It looks like it's going to come out that Tulane is, my guess would be Tulane would be voted one. And then to your point about the expectation, the transfer portal has kind of changed that. Like the transfer portal, throwing that in, it's kind of giving you a world where you're expected to win now,
yep,
even if you did lose most of your roster from last year because of what you're able to get in the portal. This is not a year like last year where Memphis was overwhelmingly expected to finish number one with the roster that they had and the continuity and all that. But even with that, I don't anticipate that Memphis is going to drop down to being fifth or anything, right? They should still be voted as a top three because I think every year, looking at what's in the conference, looking at the resources that Memphis has, there's no reason why every year Memphis shouldn't be going into the preseason ranked as a top three team, even if they're not number one.
Yeah. So
couldn't agree more.
I'm curious, do you have initial understanding, because you're talking about NIL, and obviously Memphis football was positioned well with that even before, but do you have an initial understanding of just how this house settlement will impact Memphis? Like, will they be better for it? Like, what's just sort of your initial read on how the new landscape will impact Memphis football?
Well, honestly, I think Memphis is in a – it depends on which ring we're talking about, right? Because Memphis, because they recruit so well, they are able to kind of punch above their weight class in recruiting. I think they'll be fine when you're talking about other group of five or group of six conferences, however you want to say it, they'll be the top of the echelon there. But if you look at what Memphis is doing recruiting, they're competing against guys. I mean, you see they were able to get A.J. Hill. Like, they're getting guys that some of these power conference schools are chasing after. So when you look at that, when you look at them punching above their weight class, I do wonder if it's going to be harder for them to do that with the house settlement, because you're going to be going against power five conference schools who are they're going to be opting into the entire $20.5 million or whatever it is, while Memphis is expected to be the top, if not one of the top group of fives. You're not expecting Memphis to opt into the entire $20.5 million, and then you also know how big basketball is here, so basketball's got to get its money. So I do think when they're trying to compete against those power five schools, they may lose some guys that they may have gotten in previous years. That's just my guess as of right now.
In terms of Ryan, and we know, he's Frank, you would know this better than me. Is it 28 or 29 he's signed up through now? I lose track because he adds the extra year with the rollover. But in terms of how long with a new AD, obviously, and Ed Scott, how long you are willing to, because it's layered. You're winning games. You've won 21. Nobody knows this better than you over the last 2 years. In bowl games, you're beating power conference teams. You can tell yourself this is success. there's also there's a factor of this where, okay, well, attendance doesn't necessarily reflect what we've done. We certainly don't have the conference titles. And so I say all that to lay out for you, Frank, is like at what point, right now that we're past Seth Hennigan, is Ryan Silverfield held to a point, okay, conference title or bust? Because I just remember covering Josh Pastner. And after, you know, after a while, year seven, well, Memphis was tied in contractually with him and actually was about to go on because it couldn't afford to get out of it before Georgia Tech swoops in. And boy, were they ready to move on. But the point was, well, he just hadn't done enough with the resources that he had. And I'm just wondering, at what point does the program potentially get there with Ryan Silverfield, considering, as everything you just laid out, the resources now, what he's got to win with?
Well, last year makes that conversation a lot more interesting, because last year still was an 11-2 season, right? The second most wins in yep. you know, in program history. So you can't look at that and turn your nose up at that. But on the other side of it, that was supposed to come with a conference championship,
yes.
at least a conference championship berth and playing in the game. But you don't. Do you really look at the last 2 years and say you're going to move on from a guy who was, what, 10-3 and then 11-2 in his last 2 years? That's a tough trigger to pull like that. And then you look at this year, if they don't win the conference this year, how much of that do you look at? Like, I think Brendan Lewis is going to be the starting quarterback. I think so. But let's say somehow A.J. Hill ends up winning the job, and you don't win the conference tournament, or you don't win the conference championship with a freshman quarterback. How much flack do you give Ryan for that?
Right, I get it. You can't give him a ton for losing if he ends up with a freshman quarterback and he ends up not winning a conference. I get it. I get where you're at. You can't fire him and say this is a bad season.
But I would say, how do you recruit a quarterback that's not good enough to beat out a freshman? That puts you in a situation where you have to start the freshman. And then if you say, well, the freshman's awesome, well, if the freshman's awesome, then you should win, you know?
True.
I mean, I think it's all, you know, no matter what happens, it all comes back on Silverfield one way or the other if he doesn't perform.
Which is true, which is why I think Brendan Lewis is going to end up winning the job.
Right.
I would bet, short of injury, I'd bet everything I have on it. Like, I just don't think Silverfield's turning it over to a freshman. In this particular year.
Well, it also, you have to weigh, right, Frank, at some point, what you're missing out on potentially by not winning these conference titles, right? Especially at a time where you've taken over Simmons Bank. You need that place as full as possible. And while I'm with you, I guess in a way, yeah, 21 wins. Well, on most Saturdays, most Thursdays, Fridays, those are wins. But if I'm not, you know, if attendance is not going up, And I'm not making, you know, competing with Boise State for the Group of Five spot in the CFP, am I getting everything I need out of that spot?
True, and I'll ask you this, and I think me and John kind of differ a little bit on this. Let's say Memphis did win on the road against UTSA like they should have, yep. and they find themselves in the championship, and let's say they win it. How much of an impact do we really think that would have had on the fan base? Me personally, I don't think much.
It's interesting.
If they get there and lose, like what was the stipulation?
Well, whether they get there and lose or they get there and win, I think the problem with the fan base is a little bit more deeper than winning the conference championship.
Well, that's interesting, and I think you're fair to bring it up. My point would be, now it gets you right in the running at least, and it wouldn't have done it last year. Boise State would have been in.
Exactly.
But it puts you in a new grouping that's a college football playoff spot, right? So there's a new hope that comes with winning your conference title. That doesn't necessarily mean you're not there every year, Frank. I'm with you. Maybe most years Mount West, Boise State's getting it. But you're in the running, right? And that's what it gives you a new hope, something to pull for, right? National.
To your point, like if they were in, like you said, like if they won the championship last year, they still would have been on the outside looking in the college football playoff.
No question.
But if it gets them into the college football playoff, then yes, I can see the uptick in the fandom. But I'm just not sure, because when the team was winning and it looked like they were headed toward a possible conference championship, the fans weren't coming out in droves then.
I don't know. I think it would make a great deal of difference if Memphis gets to the conference championship and wins it, obviously.
To his point, though, I wonder, to Frank, on your point, when it did look good, if that's folks, you know, some not believing in the coach that they've got, you know, just in the time that he's been there.
Well, when did it look good, though? When has it looked good in the context of competing for an AAC? Like, it hasn't. It's
well,
never
I mean,
happened.
Yeah, until they lost to UTSA last year, right, Frank? I mean, you only had the one loss. It was early to Navy, but it was
winning.
Just the one.
That was the problem. Is that they didn't even give you any hope because they just kept beating everybody's ass all year.
Yeah, but the Navy did end up losing to Rice, which
right.
would have given.
Yeah, no, but that was after you lost to UTSA, so all hope was gone anyway.
Saying, it wasn't gone until UTSA is what killed it.
Yeah, UTSA took you out totally. But I mean, your win got taken out of the sails. It was fourth game of the season. I mean, and you were a 9-point favorite, whatever it ended up being. You know, maybe it was more. I don't know. I think that the fan base would be totally happy with. It's the coupling of that having never happened and you being the top spender, top resource. Top everything, pick to win, you finish fourth, two sub-500 years in the American. I mean, that you know, it's not been good.
I don't think you're wrong, though, Frank, that maybe sometimes we overestimate it, because I once thought if you put a ranked team from start to finish down at FedEx Forum, you would have 12,000, 15,000, no problem, you know, on most nights. That didn't happen last season. I do think, though, it's kind of like with the NCAA tournament and the Tigers as far as the college football playoff. If you're winning the AAC title, at least in football, it's giving you a shot at the big dance.
Well, I mean, okay,
now, maybe most years you're not getting it because Boise State's done better in the non-con, but that hope, right, for a national championship that you've never been able to sell here.
No.
You can't, because you can't win it.
No, of course.
Never been in recruiting or anything. That little bit of hope gives you a little something.
But let's recalibrate this entirely, Frank. Like, what should the expectations for Memphis football in the current iteration era be? What should they be? What should the expectations on an annual basis be for Memphis football?
We should be Boise State, right, Frank?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all in agreement on that, right? You should be, the expectation should be conference championship, you know, every year. Now, it's not to say that every year you're going to be in it, but every season the expectation should be that you're good enough to win the league. And every other year, or however you want to say it, like, you know, frequently enough, you should be either in the game or winning the game to be up there, like you said, with the Boise States of the world and being that representative for the group of five or group of six or whatever for the college football playoff. I mean, that I think we're all in agreement that that is where the standard for Memphis football should be.
Right. And so the point, okay, we agree they're perfect. This is a great starting point. Yep. So we agree that's the standard. They have fallen short of that standard every single year under Silverfield.
Every single year.
They've never even been in the championship game, and they finished two seasons under 500. So if we are consistently falling short of the standard, then what do we do? Do we just say, oh, that's the standard, you're not meeting it, we'll just keep we'll keep trying and hope that you hit it one day? Or do you say, hey, even though this isn't a disaster, we have to make a change because it's not meeting our standard? That's because you ask, like, what do you do?
This is the point. This,
you know, Memphis is an athletic department that fired Tubby Smith, Hall of Fame coach, right? Hall of Famer, won a national championship, one of the best ever. And they did it not because it was a disaster on the court. They did it because they knew that they could not proceed with him as the coach. Fans were tuned out. They were checked out. And they were finishing fourth, fifth in the league, and they had to make a change. I am of the mind that if you can fire Tubby Smith, you can certainly fire Ryan Silverfield if he's not performing at the level that he needs to be.
Yeah, right. And so, there, like you said, there does become a breaking point where you look and say, hey, you've been the coach for this many years.
Right.
You haven't been in the game. I'm just saying, as we're having this conversation right now, is right now necessarily the time to have that after the last 2 years? And I know it didn't become a conference championship, but that's a tough trigger to pull.
It is. It makes, like, for a program like Memphis football that doesn't have the history of Memphis basketball, right? Memphis basketball was an easy sell, super easy to the community, because it's like, we got to do better than six in the AAC. We got to do better than 5,000 people announced. Like, we got to do better than that, right? Memphis football has not ever been in a situation where they're winning 9-10 games a season like they have the last two, or 11 or whatever. But it's also a situation where it's like the money has also never been this much for them. Mm-hmm. The resources have never been this good. The investment has never been this high. So you almost have to, like, you have to catch up. So it's like if the investment is flush and the resources are great, but the results are eh, which they are, they're eh. That's how I think you do it. It's weird. I don't know what the precedent is for it. Like, I don't know, like, what other situation I would compare it to, Frank. Like, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of them around the country, you know, where the expectations have changed so rapidly, you know, on the fly for a program.
But if it was going so well, right, Frank, if it was such success, he would be on coaching candidate lists and he would be coveted by other programs, right?
Well, yeah, last year was the year. Last year was the year to get that conference championship crown, and in this conversation, is mute because you have what the, you know, you have the coveted, you know, trophy. My main pushback on this conversation, though, is if you do that, who the heck do you think is going to come?
That's fair. That's a fair, because you're
somebody that says I can go win an AAC championship there and be in the running for the college football playoff and go get a job from there, right? And somebody that's competitive. Sumrall at Tulane, a guy like him that says, I can go there and be there for two or three seasons, and then I'm out. I'm going to go flip it into a power job. But somebody competitive, somebody that says, that looks at it for what it is, right now, a resourced, best resource program outside the power structure, you could argue. Certainly right there at the top.
That's a big gamble to take because you also don't know if – your recruiting is going to remain the same. One thing that you can say about Ryan is that he recruits.
He does.
You don't know if the next guy is going to do that. And so we're talking about the resources and the talent that he has. Are you 100% sure that the next guy is going to have the talent that he has?
I watched the two previous guys with less go get bigger jobs, right, because of what they turned it into. And what I could argue is Ryan isn't – he's pulling a Josh Pastner where he's recruiting so well – frankly, he's not performing at a high enough level for how he's recruited. So, and I could point to, okay, well, maybe we get past Ryan, you get another Fuente and Orvell in here that with these resources is actually hitting on it. Sure, maybe the recruiting goes down a level, but he's turning it into a more, you know, an outfit that's executing at a higher level and you're winning championships. I could argue it that way.
I mean, that's valid. I think the point is that at some point a conference championship has to emerge, right?
100%.
I think, yeah, it has to emerge, and if it doesn't, then, you know, other conversations may have to be had that were had a couple years ago or whatever. Yeah. But right now, I think you see if he can do it.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about
that's
that.
Where you are right now.
But it's a good conversation. There's no doubt we will have it again.
Great stuff, Frank.
Frank, thank you for stepping into the box here. You're the man. See you soon.
All right, y'all take care. Anytime.
Yes, sir.
He is Frank Bonner. Covers the Tiger football program for the Daily Memphian.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.